The Gemara tells us that there are certain actions which are forbidden because they appear in the eyes of the beholder to be a service and a worship of Avodah Zarah. For example, says the Gemara, if a person lost his money in front of an idol, he's not permitted to bend over while facing in the direction of the idol to pick it up. Rather, he has to turn his face away so that people don't think, so that it doesn't appear in their eyes as if he's bowing to the idol. Similarly, says the Gemara, if a person has a splinter in his foot, he may not bend down and remove the splinter while facing the idol, because by doing so, he appears to be worshipping it. Furthermore, says the Gemara, if there's a stream of water or a fountain which emerges from the mouth of a statue which may be considered an idol, it's forbidden to lean over and drink directly from the statue, from the fountain that's gushing from the statue's mouth, because it appears that one is bowing to the statue. And then the Gemara says that there is a tzvichosa, there's a necessity for all of these cases, because each of them contain a mitigating factor that is not present in the other ones. Okay, there's loss of money, otherwise by the money which fell in front of the statue, there's no other way to get it other than bowing down to the statue. By the splinter, person's in pain, it's hard to wait another few moments as he pass, till he passes the statue by. And finally, by the stream of water, says the Gemara, you would have thought that there's a sakana, that there's a danger, a mortal danger, if a person does not drink from this fountain at this moment. Perhaps he cannot go for another moment without drinking water. And if he were to deprive himself of water for another moment, then chas v'shalom, he would die. You would think, says the Gemara, that under such circumstances, with the mitigating influence of sakanas nefashos, of danger to one's very life, it would be permitted, you would think, to drink water from the stream gushing from the statue's mouth. Says the Gemara, even so, it is usur to drink from the statue. It is forbidden to give the appearance of worshipping an Avodah Zarah, even at the cost of one's life. That appears to be what our Gemara says. However, the Ran qualifies or even modifies this apparent statement of the Gemara. Says the Ran, how ye talking? Is it possible that a person who's an Erech Yid, whose intentions are the furthest thing from worshipping the Avodah Zarah, how ye talking that he is forbidden from saving his life by drinking from this fountain? Therefore, says the Ran, the Gemara doesn't mean that under a circumstance where a person feels that he's expiring, that he's forbidden to drink from this fountain. Rather, says the Ran, what the Gemara means is that if a person is in a situation where there is an uncertainty, there's a possibility that if he doesn't drink now, he won't find water to replenish his thirst, you know, until he expires, then it is forbidden. But if it's a sakana immediately, if he knows right now that drinking from this fountain means the difference for him between life and death, then, says the Ran, he would indeed be permitted to drink from the fountain. What is this machlokas between what some Rishonim describe as a pashtos ha-gemara, that a person has to give up his life, yehareg ve'al yavar, better to die than to transgress the avera of appearing to bow to an Avodah Zarah, and the shita of the Ran, who says that it is better to transgress and to give the appearance of bowing to an Avodah Zarah rather than sacrifice one's life? What is this machlokas? This machlokas is what's called a machlokas about maris ayin, about giving the appearance of doing an avera. And it relates to a chakira which is fundamental both with regards to the mitzvah of maris ayin and with regards to many other mitzvos. First of all, what's the makar, what's the source for Maris Ayin in the Torah, because the Pasuk says, V'hi Yisem Nikiyim Be'enei Hashem U'be'enei Yisrael, that people should be naki, they should be clean, in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of their fellow man, of their fellow Jew. And this teaches us that a person should never perform an action which will tarnish his reputation. He should never perform an action which will besmirch and which will dirty his image in the eyes of others. That's the mitzvah of Maris Ayin. It's a mitzvah of guarding our sterling reputation. Now, how are we to construe this mitzvah? Do we understand that this mitzvah is an independent mitzvah? It's a mitzvah which says that we are not allowed to do anything which will cause our reputation to be dirtied. Or should we understand this, that it's a modification, it's a sub-paragraph of other, each and every other mitzvah in the Torah? That means that when the Torah says, mitzvah number one, Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, there is the main mitzvah, which is Yediyas Hashem, and then there's a sub-paragraph, a clause within that section of the legal code that says not only must we have Yediyas Hashem, but we also have to give the appearance of having Yediyas Hashem. When the Torah says Loi Tinof, that people should not have Zinus, so there's two sections of that mitzvah. One section is the section of not being Mizaneh. The second subsection, the sub-paragraph, is not to give the appearance of being Mizaneh. The mitzvah of V'hi Yisem Nikiyim, the Isser, the prohibition of Maris Ayin, of giving the appearance of inequity, is actually a sub-clause of every single mitzvah in the Torah. It's not its own mitzvah, where a person who transgresses Maris Ayin has transgressed Maris Ayin. But rather, a person who transgresses Maris Ayin, and who gives the appearance of doing the Avera, has transgressed that Avera, which he gave the appearance of doing. If not indeed, then at least in public perception. And the nafkamina of this chakira are numerous. The first nafkamina is as follows. We know that there are three mitzvos for which we say, Yeharig val yavar, better to transgress those mitzvos, better to be killed than to transgress those mitzvos. When you have Maris Ayin, if a person who transgresses Maris Ayin is being over on an independent mitzvah of besmirching his reputation, then it shouldn't make a difference whether it's Maris Ayin of those three Averos Chamuros of Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichus Damim, or whether it's Maris Ayin of some other Avera. In the end of the day, the only thing he's transgressed is Maris Ayin. However, if Maris Ayin is a subcategory of all of the other mitzvos and averos in the Torah, so then a person who's over on Maris Ayin for one of the Gimel Averos Chamuros has not simply been over on the pasuk of V'hi Yisem Nikiyim Me Hashem U'Mi Yisrael. He's been over on the pasuk of Lo Tinof. He's been over on the pasuk of Lo Sishtachav Elohem V'Lo Sa'avdim. He's been over on the pasuk of Lo Tirtzach. His Avera belongs to those three categories. And as belonging to one of those three categories, he's obligated to give up his life rather than to transgress. This is the hesber of the machlokes between the Ran and the other Rishonim. According to the Ran, Maris Ayin is an independent mitzvah. It's not a subcategory of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, for sure, Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah, it's really Maris Ayin. And a person is obligated to transgress rather than sacrifice his life. But for the other Rishonim, Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah primarily, and Maris Ayin only secondarily. And as such, just as a person has to sacrifice his life for Avodah Zarah itself rather than transgress, he has to sacrifice his life rather than be over on Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah. And this, according to some, is the hesber for why in the Middle Ages, when you had all sorts of libels and pogroms and attempts at forced forcing people to convert, this is the hesber for why it's asur. Because even if a person, right, were to become a merano, were to give the appearance of converting, while actually in their heart and mind retaining belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wouldn't be sufficient. Because it's better to sacrifice one's life for maris ayin of avodah zarah rather than transgress. The same way that one must sacrifice his life rather than really truly serve avodah zarah. There's other reasons also why it's asr. Tosfos in Sanhedrin deals with it. Aside from maris ayin, maybe the asr isr of lo yisa'ovdeim, that even if you don't have in mind to worship the avodah zarah, but just to give kavod to the avodah zarah, is maybe an independent transgression of lo sa'avdim. But that can be mitigated perhaps a little more easily than maris ayin. So this is the chiddush of our Gemara. It seems that even though there's sakanas nefashos, a person should rather sacrifice their life than even give the appearance of serving avodah zarah. That's a machlokas between Rav Rishonim and the Ran, with very, very nafkaminas, which unfortunately were very halachal amaisa, very practically relevant in many tekufos of Jewish history. I just said that this chakira, which about whether maris ayin is its own law, or whether it's a subcategory of the other laws, it applies to many other mitzvahs in the Torah. And two examples are lifnei iver leisitin michshol, causing another person to be over an Aveira, is that a subcategory of our own mitzvah, of every single other mitzvah? Or is Lifnei Iver its own independent category, with again nafkaminas, let's say Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah, or Lifnei Iver of Gilui Arayos, is that Yeharg Val Yavar or not? And the same thing, let's say, for mitzvahs derabanan. For mitzvahs derabanan, are the derabanans their own sub, you know, their own category? That if a person transgresses something which Chazal said was an Isra Avodah Zarah, but which Midiraisa is not, have they only transgressed the Avera of Loisasur, Minadavar Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin Usmoil, or have they actually transgressed the Avera of Avodah Zarah? Is a person chayat to be Moiser Nefesh rather than be over on Avodah Zarah Midirabanon? So that's one nafkamina. And again, there are other nafkaminas also from all of these shailas. For example, we say that a mumar, a person who is suspect of transgressing a particular avera, has no ne'emanos, has no credibility when it comes to areas of that avera. So for example, if a person is chashud on eating treif meat, then he has no credibility to tell you that meat is kosher, with certain exceptions. So if a person is over on treif, on maris ayin of treif meat, does he lose his ne'emanos or not? It depends whether maris ayin is a subcategory of loisaychlu kol nevela, or whether it's an independent mitzvah. If he's over on treif dirabanon, does he lose his ne'emanos for that? Or does he lose his ne'emanos maybe for all of mitzvahs dirabanon? If he's over on lifnei iver for treif, so again, does he lose his ne'emanos for lifnei iver, or does he lose his ne'emanos for the mitzvah of loisaychlu kol nevela? There's a lot of other nafkaminas also. These are just the chakira, which we call, is it a mitzvah klali or a mitzvah prati? Is it its own heading, or is it a subcategory of the other mitzvahs? And then some of the nafkaminas, is there a bichlal yehorig val yavar for maris ayin, for lifnei iver, for the rabbanans? Is there a din of losing credibility, of mumar, right, the davar echad, eno ne'eman lo'isay davar, for those categories? Okay, that's good for now.